Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report to 30th of September 2014, the first 9 months of 2014. As always, Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichener, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance, will give you an overview of business development. After that, you have an opportunity to ask your questions. I'll pass the floor to Dr. Reithofer.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I'll talk about 5 points. First, volatility and the development of the automotive markets. Second, our investments in new plants. Third, our profitability. Fourth, our brands and new products. Fifth, our forecast for the business year 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, business environment is and will remain affected by uncertainties. Political regulations continue to require further investment to reduce carbon emissions. Economies in the EU, as well as Japan, still have high public debt. In China, the overcapacities in the economy remain a risk for further development. Of course, it is clear that global conflicts affect overall economic and business situation everywhere. At the same time, worldwide automotive markets are developing differently in the first 9 months of 2014. In the U.S., the economy is stable right now. This means vehicle sales are continuing to go up as a whole. In Europe, new car registrations have also increased from the previous year. In Spain and Portugal, the car markets are picking up strongly. However, they still have a long way to go before matching the  2007 level. Growth in the U.K. also continues at a high level. Germany, France, and Italy, on the other hand, are only gaining slightly. In Asia, both China and Japan are currently seeing an increase in new car registrations. In Japan, the growth rate stands at almost 6% despite a recent VAT increase. China's car sales are benefiting from the high demand from private consumers. However, due to certain policies, the world's largest car market is on its way towards normalization. Some emerging markets are seeing consumer restraint. This, of course, affects everyone. By the end of September, our BMW Group sales declined by about 13% in Russia and by about 17% in India. In Brazil, we sold almost as many BMWs and MINIs as during the same period last year. In countries like Malaysia, Indonesia, and Turkey, our sales volumes are developing very positively. Ladies and gentlemen, despite the various challenges we face, our strategic focus will remain unchanged. We will continue to strive for balanced sales distribution between the major world markets. Let me move to my second point. We have always followed the strategy, production follows the market. In Mexico, we will open a new production site in 2019, and our new BMW plant in Brazil recently started production, with the first BMW rolling off the assembly line on October 9th. Building a new plant always requires long-term planning. It pays off. That's our experience. In 1994, we opened our U.S. plant in Spartanburg, and since then, our sales in the country have quadrupled. In 2003, we started production in China, in Shenyang. Since then, our sales in the country have increased by a factor of 20. Our decision to further expand the plants in the U.S. and China was actively taken during the economic and financial crisis. This underscores our willingness to take calculated risk in our future. Our new plant in Brazil and Mexico are going to add to the strength of our global production network. Which brings me to my third point, profitability. As you know, we operate under clear key performance indicators. The most important one is our EBIT margin in the automotive segment. Our target in this segment is still within a range of 8-10%. For the first nine months of the current business year, the EBIT margin in the automotive segment actually stood slightly above our target range for profitability. In the first 9 months, we recorded a pre-tax profit before tax of over 6.8 billion euros. This is 13.5% up from the same period last year. The group net profit increased to more than 4.5 billion euros. These key figures are based on the high demand for our vehicles all over the world. Now to my fourth point. We have strong premium brands, BMW, MINI, Rolls-Royce. proof of their strength are once again our sales figures for the period of January to September 2014. Over 1.5 million customers decided to buy a vehicle made by the BMW Group more than ever before. The BMW brand has maintained its leading position in the premium segment. The same is true of the BMW X5 as well as the BMW's 3, 4 and 5 series in their respective segments. In July, we launched a new BMW X4 and the model update of the BMW X3. The new BMW 2 Series Active Tourer and the M variant of the BMW 4 Series convertible followed in September. Rolls-Royce has begun delivery of the Ghost Series 2. At MINI, the model updates of the Countryman and Paceman came out in July. 55 years after the first MINI rolled off the assembly line, MINI is now offering a 5-door model as well. Less than 2 weeks ago, the new MINI Hatch 5-door arrived at the dealerships, so MINI has now set out to conquer the growing segment of 5-door hatchbacks, a sector about double the size of the 3-door compact segment. All of these models are going to have a positive impact on our sales figures in the months to come. And at the Paris Motor Show, we displayed that we're going to offer a young and attractive portfolio in 2015 as well. The versatility of our brands and products reflects the desires and tastes of our consumers all over the world. The range includes the BMW X6 as well as the new BMW 2 Series convertible. We will introduce an over-the-air update for the navigation system in our 2 Series convertible. With BMW Connected Drive, navigation maps are automatically updated up to 4 times a year. This means more convenience for the customers. With our BMW R vehicles, we prove that we're innovative pioneers in sustainable mobility. In the past 9 months of this year, we sold close to 10,200 units of our fully electric BMW i3. Since September, the i3 has now also been available in China. We delivered 341 units of our plug-in hybrid BMW i8 to customers between June and September, and we're seeing a surge in deliveries from month to month. The gradual electrification of our vehicle fleet will allow us to continue to meet the tough CO2 emission targets in Europe and around the world in the future. This year, we will reduce our European fleet's carbon emissions slightly from the previous year's level. Ladies and gentlemen, we view the changes in market trends and regular requirements as part of our business. These are challenges which spur us on and keep us more competitive. This also applies to new competitors from other sectors that consider the car as a platform for their own business models. Now over to my last and most decisive point, our forecast targets for the current business year. You know our targets. We aim to deliver over 2 million vehicles to our customers. Second, we aim to achieve a pre-tax group profit significantly above the previous year. And third, we aim to achieve an EBIT margin in the automotive segment in a range of 8 to 10%. This, of course, depends on a positive development of the global economy and the global car market, and a further stabilization of the economic situation in Europe. The fact is, we will continue to invest in our future, in our global production network, in our people, and in future technologies, both in the car and in the industrialization process. These are all elements of our strategy number one that lead up to the year 2020. This will lead to profitable growth in the long term. This is what we expect of ourselves as the leader in the industry. For 2014 as a whole, our forecast remains unchanged to deliver on our targets. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer, and now Dr. Eichner, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd also like to bid you a good morning. BMW Group is on course to reach its targets for 2014. We are committed to profitable long-term growth. The global market environment and positive business development are confirming our expectations. In Europe, the slight recovery of the first 6 months has continued. The BMW Group posted solid sales growth of 6% in the third quarter in the region, and we sold more than 217,000 vehicles in the region. In the Americas, quarterly sales were up 4.3% year-on-year and reached more than 116,000 units. The US auto market in particular again reported healthy growth. Third quarter sales climbed by 5.5% to more than 94,000 units. Dynamic growth continues in Asia and especially in China. By the end of September, the BMW Group posted a sales increase of almost 18% over the previous year in the world's largest auto market. And the company delivered more than 336,000 premium vehicles to customers. This retail sales growth also benefited from our young and attractive model lineup. The economic situation remains volatile in a number of growth markets. Thanks to our balanced global presence, we are able to take advantage of sales opportunities in the Americas, Europe and Asia. Our global presence and flexibility also enable us to manage fluctuations in demand in individual markets at short notice. Group revenues for the first 9 months reached 57.74 billion euros, an increase of 3.4% compared with the same period of 2013. Group pre-tax profit for the year to the end of September increased significantly, climbing by 13.5% to 6.84 billion euros. Third quarter pre-tax profit was slightly higher year-on-year at 2.01 billion euros. The EBIT margin for the quarter stood at 10.3%. The BMW Group is pursuing its corporate strategy for long-term profitable growth and future competitiveness. We are selectively expanding our global capacity and extending our product portfolio. The BMW Group is maintaining its high level of capital expenditure and research and development to strengthen the company's future competitiveness. In the first 9 months of the year, we invested a total of 3.99 billion in new products, plant and equipment. This includes investment in our new plant in Brazil, contract manufacturing at Netcar in the Netherlands, expansion of our US plant in Spartanburg, and the mini production in the UK. Capital expenditure was 8% lower year-on-year. The CAPEX ratio for the first 9 months of the year stood at 6.9%. The CAPEX ratio for the full year 2014 is likely to exceed our target of below 7%. It should, however, be lower than the previous year's figure of 8.8%. The BMW Group spent a total of 1.01 billion euros on research and development in the third quarter, and this figure is on par with the same period of last year. Research and development expenses for the year to the end of September totaled 2.99 billion. These were focused on new technologies in the areas of lightweight construction, connectivity, and alternative drivetrains, which we regard as success factors for our future business. Future R&D expenditure was mostly earmarked for vehicle projects in the middle and upper vehicle range. Expanding vehicle architectures for our compact models and larger vehicle classes was another priority. The R&D ratio for the first 9 months of 2014 stood at 5.5%. Since R&D costs generally rise towards the end of the year, we expect the R&D ratio for the full year to exceed our target range, but to be still lower than the previous year's 6.3%. Group liquidity remained at a high level in the third quarter. At the end of the quarter, liquid assets and securities totaled 11.3 billion euros. The company continues to make a strong liquidity position a priority. Let's move on to the automotive segment. Our automotive business continued to perform well in the third quarter. Over 509,000 vehicles were delivered to customers during this period, which is an increase of 5.8%. BMW in particular, the world's leading premium brand, reported its best ever third quarter with more than 433,000 deliveries. Mini sales reached more than 75,000 units, which is in line with last year's figure despite the model changeover. Between January and the end of September, total sales grew by a solid 6.5% to almost 1.53 million vehicles. BMW brand sales were particularly dynamic, with year-on-year growth of 9.1% to reach nearly 1.32 million units. Segment revenues for the third quarter stood at 18.14 billion. This is an increase of 5.5% compared with the same period of last year. Automotive segment EBIT for the same period reached almost 1.7 billion euros, an increase of 9.7% over the previous year. Earnings profited from sales growth and a high-value product mix with a large share of BMW vehicles. The mix was slightly better in the first half of the year, however. In the first 9 months of the year, our attractive new models benefited from a slight improvement in the price situation in Europe. Overall, the global pricing environment appears slightly more positive than last year. On the cost side, segment earnings were impacted by higher personnel costs and depreciation. The strategic focus on future products and expanded global capacity resulted in higher personnel expenses. For example, new staff were hired for our plants in Spartanburg and Leipzig, as well as for the new plant in Brazil. Higher capital expenditure after commissioning of our new equipment and after production ramp-up of new models led to higher depreciation than in the same period of last year. The automotive segment achieved an EBIT margin of 9.4% in the third quarter. After the first 9 months, EBIT for the automotive segment stands at 5.44 billion with an EBIT margin of 10.2%. In the fourth quarter, we expect to see a further increase in sales with corresponding effects on revenue and earnings. Costs are also forecast to rise as various product and technology projects are concluded at the end of the year. Additional costs will also be incurred for a major upgrade of our IT infrastructure and refinement of our sales and marketing activities. In this way, the BMW Group is laying the foundation for continued global growth and the further development of its business areas. We will also face marketing and ramp-up costs this year for the latest models, such as the X6 and the new 2 Series convertible. The X4 and the Active Tourer will be launched in overseas markets in the coming month, as well as the new 5-door Mini and the new Rolls-Royce Ghost. The current product initiative caused a peak in production in the first 9 months of the year. By the end of September, we built nearly 1.619 million vehicles. That's well over 96,000 units more than in the same period last year. Capacity utilization remains high at our plants worldwide, where we manage a total of 16 model ramp-ups this year. The growing importance of overseas markets means longer vehicle lead times. Our expanded product portfolio and vehicle transfer times resulted in a working capital increase of almost 2 billion euros. This build-up of working capital led to a lower free cash flow compared to previous year. Free cash flow stood at 1.31 billion at the end of the 9-month period. With the sales volumes planned for the rest of the year, we expect to see a corresponding decrease in working capital in the fourth quarter. This will also have a positive impact on free cash flow for the full year. At the end of September, net financial assets in the automotive segment totaled 12.10 billion euros. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at our financial services segment. Despite sustained competitive pressure, BMW Group Financial Services performed well in the third quarter. The segment is rigorously pursuing its strategy of profitable balanced growth and makes a vital contribution to the BMW Group's earning performance. During the third quarter, over 382,000 new contracts were concluded with customers, an increase of 1.8% year-on-year. The Asia-Pacific region once again saw the strongest growth, as Chinese customers in particular took advantage of financing options. The service portfolio totaled more than 4.26 million contracts as of 30 September. This represents an increase of 5.2% over the previous year. The segment penetration rate, that's the percentage of new vehicles financed or leased by financial services, was lower than for the first 9 months of 2013. it stood at 41.8% compared with 45% for the same period last year. This again reflects increased competition across the industry. Financial services reported pre-tax earnings of 455 million for the third quarter, an increase of 14.3% compared with the previous year. Segment earnings before tax for the first 9 months were 4.5% higher year-on-year at 1.37 billion euros. The risk situation developed in line with expectations during the first 9 months, so credit risks are likely to remain stable for the rest of the year. A positive trend is emerging in individual southern European markets. Pricing on the international used car markets was largely unchanged. We also expect residual values for our off-lease vehicles in Europe and Asia to remain stable. However, in North America, prices for used cars could trend downwards slightly. The motorcycle segment reported a new sales high for the third quarter, selling more than 100,000 motorcycles in 9 months for the first time. Over 29,000 units were delivered to customers in the third quarter, an increase of 3.6% over the previous year. BMW Motorrad benefited from the growth in the market segment above 500 cubic centimeters. In the first 3 quarters, the global market grew by 4.6% and BMW Motorrad was able to increase its sales by 7.6%. BMW Motorrad reported solid growth in a number of European markets and the US in particular. Revenues and segment earnings mirrored this positive development. Revenues for the first 9 months climbed 10.9% to 1.37 billion euros. The segment achieved an EBIT of 146 million euros for the same period, which is an increase by 57%. The recently launched models, new versions of the S1000RR, the R1200R and the R1200RS will be available for the start of the motorcycle season in the spring. Assuming that economic conditions remain unchanged, the BMW Group will meet its profit target for the full year. Our business is on track so far. We expect to achieve high sales in the fourth quarter, when all three brands will have new models available. Achieving this sales growth will depend on stable European markets and sustained positive development in our overseas market. In view of the global economic and political risks, we expect our business environment to remain volatile for the rest of the year. At group level, we anticipate a significant increase in pre-tax earnings for 2014 compared to the previous year. Despite current uncertainties in China, Russia and some other emerging markets, our strong product momentum and sales opportunities in the automotive segment make us confident. Globally, we continue to focus on profitability and expect a sales increase to more than 2 million vehicles for the full year. In the fourth quarter, deliveries are likely to increase at a higher rate than the 6.5% for the first 9 months. Not only in sales, but also in revenues, we forecast a solid increase for 2014. Although currency translation effects could dampen this increase. For the full year, we expect the EBIT margin to remain within our target range of 8 to 10%. The positive business development in the financial services segment looks set to continue. The main financial indicator for the segment, return on equity, should be slightly lower than last year, but exceed our target of at least 18% for the full year. This is due to higher competitive pressure in our markets. Adequate risk provisions have been made for our financial services activities. From today's perspective, assuming that conditions remain stable, BMW Motorrad will also continue its positive business development. Motorcycle markets worldwide have performed better than forecast. BMW Motorrad deliveries should benefit from this in 2014 with solid year-on-year growth. Our forecast for the year is based, as already mentioned, on stable political and macroeconomic conditions. Any changes in a political or economic climate could affect our guidance. Ladies and gentlemen, our strategy is focused on long-term competitiveness and profitable growth. The BMW Group is therefore using its financial strength to invest in the future and secure its innovation leadership. The company is expanding its capacity worldwide and enhancing efficiency across all operating areas. This will consolidate its global leadership of the premium segment. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Eichner. Colleagues, we now have time to take your questions. So first, for some housekeeping remarks, technical information about the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to pose a question, press the telephone button 0 and 1. Your questions will be taken in the order received. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker today, I'd like to ask you to please pick up your receiver to ask your questions. Thank you, and 1 minute for the first question. First question, Stefan Konig, Börsenzeitung. Good morning, everyone. I have a question about cash flow, Mr. Eichner, if you could elaborate why in Q3 there was a decline by one-third. Then I'd like to know why is there a higher tax rate in the third quarter? It was more than 34%. Could you explain that as well? And then again, what you said about current assets, which are to be going down in the fourth quarter, which is to have a positive effect on free cash flow in the automotive industry or segment. Could you explain that? Thank you, Mr. Konig. Mr. Eichner, please. Well, the cash flow development in Q3 is related to the introduction of a lot of new models. Let me remind you, this year we introduced a lot of models that didn't have a predecessor. So there weren't any existing vehicles, an X4, for example, the Active Tourer, the Mini 5-door hatch, just to mention a few. Now, these products, similar to the iProducts, need to be built up, need to be established worldwide. The pipeline needs to be filled. Dealerships need to receive their first supplies. And this has led to corresponding ramp-up activity and production in order to launch these products in the market. So the planned peak was reached in the third quarter. But this will now, of course, go down because the vehicles have now arrived in the markets, they're now available, and in the fourth quarter there'll be a slight decline. So after these stocks have been built up, we're essentially talking about new cars, as I mentioned. Now in the fourth quarter, we're expecting these cars to be sold, which will lead to positive effects in our current assets and in the end also in our cash flow, which means free cash flow will increase in the fourth quarter. So in total, we are maintaining our guidance as to free cash flow, which will be above previous year's level. So that's the background of this development. It's got something to do with our ramp-up activities, especially the ramp-ups that took place at the beginning of the second half of the year. Then the question on the tax rate, well, these are higher income taxes, our surplus went down. Basically, these are effects that mainly occurred in the United States. That's the background of this change in the third quarter. But we maintain our guidance here. The rate, depending on where revenues and profit will be obtained, this will always be between 30 and 40%. It will always fluctuate slightly. That's not an unusual development. Thank you. Next question, please. Frau Preisinger from Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I have several questions. First one about the forecast. In terms of figures, your pre-tax profit will increase by 9 to 10%. Is that what you're saying? And what's a solid increase in sales? Is that also 9 to 10%, as you mentioned last time? Then I'd like to know Can you already give us an outlook on 2015? Mr. Reithofer, you said at the beginning of last month that you are planning 2015 right now. So perhaps you can already let us in on this. What have you got in mind? New question about the new managers from your competitor that you're getting on board. What's the background here? Do you need fresh wind from the outside? Do you need impulses from other groups? And last question on Toyota. Perhaps you can give us a status report. What's the engine business with the Toyota colleagues? How is that doing? What's the number of units? How has that developed? And what's the margins here? Oh, thank you. Now, that's a couple of questions here, Mrs. Preisinger. Thank you. I'd say we'll start about the forecast. Mr. Eichiner first, and then Mr. Reithofer will give you an outlook on 2015. Mr. Eichiner? Well, Mrs. Preisinger, just to clarify this, we confirm the forecast for pre-tax group profit, and that is to be clearly increased, and clearly, in our definition, is a percentage, something between the 1- and 2-digit range. That's what I can say about group profit. That's really the core of our guidance, and that's something we're not changing. This is just as announced at the beginning of the year. We assume that this is a target we will achieve. There was a slight change in the guidance for sales due to the fact that we want to grow profitably. That's our fundamental strategy. We want to have a balanced ratio between sales and profit. This is why the priority is on revenues or profit, so we will not just sell every single unit at all costs. And against this background, we're betting on solid growth of sales. That means a high single-digit percentage range. And that's the guidance we have, and solid growth, that also applies to sales, where, as I said in my speech before, currency effects come into play as well. To summarize, a clear increase in group profit, solid growth in sales, revenues, and the EBIT margin between 8 and 10%, somewhere in that range. That's our guidance. Thank you, Mr. Eichner. Dr. Reithofer? Mrs. Preisinger, you asked about the cooperation with Toyota and how that is doing, and you wanted to know about the motor, the engine business in particular. Well, the diesel engine business that we're doing with Toyota Motors Europe is doing very well. We're quite according to our plan. An example, in 2014 spring, the Toyota Versa was launched on the market as the first model with a 1.4-liter diesel engine coming from the agreed cooperation. And let me emphasize, cooperation of the two companies, Toyota and BMW, in terms of engines, is really doing very well. That's all I'd like to say here. I will not discuss details of the contract. That's a contract between Toyota and us. But to repeat, we are very satisfied with the business. Then, as you know, currently we're about to conduct a feasibility study on a cooperation for a mid-sized sports car. This technical feasibility study has in fact been completed successfully, and we are now conceptualizing this cooperation, and the development cooperation is going according to plan. These are the two things I'd like to emphasize, and the other things are pretty much on the way as well. Then you wanted to receive first insights into our plans for 2015. Well, I can tell you we've got a young, attractive model portfolio, a model lineup that also applies to 2015. However, the Board of Management has not even passed the budget for 2015 yet, so we cannot comment on how 2015 will go. Well, as time goes by, we'll inform you about this. Now we're talking about 2014 and more specifically about the third quarter. Mr. Preisinger, I think you still had a question managers from competitors and what's behind that. Maybe I can speak on behalf of the entire group here. The interest in external staff, well, is quite high. That's not something you could limit to competitors alone. This is all within, pretty much within the ordinary. There's no peaks or anything. Not at all. Really, this is just happening all the time and also worldwide. There's nothing that would require any particular explanation, so please accept our answer like that. I think that answered your four questions. Now the next question, please. Next question, Mr. Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk.
Well, good morning. My name is Wirth. Mr. Reithofer, you said in China you're expecting a normalization due to political decisions. Can you be more specific? Because China used to be the country with two-digit growth rates. What does normalization mean to you, and what are these political decisions you referred to?
Thank you, Mr. Wirth. Dr. Reithofer. Well, Mr. Wirth, I've been saying for a long time that China will eventually turn into a normal market. We were quite spoilt in the past by high growth rates in the range of 60-70%. Now, these high growth rates have now gone down to between 15-25%. And a normal market, well, will be a market as in the United States. That is a competitive market. It's still the largest automobile market in the world, 18 million units as a whole. If I compare this with the United States, this year there'll be about 16.4 million vehicles sold. In Europe, compared to that, the figure is something above 12.4 million vehicles. So that you can see where the differences are. But these high growth rates, which we've seen over a period of, say, 3-4 years, they will not come back. But you could still say, Mr. Wirth, customers in China love our brands. They love our products. That's why we continue to be successful there. And in 2014, we still want to have a low two-digit growth rate there. But let me point out again, the general market development in China is such that situation is normalizing. The times of high two-digit growth rates are over. However, we continue to see development in China very positively. In the past, and this is another sign of market normalization, in the past, we used to sell larger vehicles, the X5, X6, the 7 Series sedans. We sold those to a small group of customers. Today, we are serving a much broader customer base in China, and they also go for a compact and middle-class vehicles in addition to the top-class models. This is the potential of a growing middle class. But this already shows what normalization means. In the past, orientation was much towards the higher classes and segments, and now we are offering a broader range, similar to as we do in the other market. And that includes an X1, which we now produce locally. That includes compact cars. That also includes our decision that we produce locally not only three but six vehicles. And those six vehicles, these will include two compact ones for the Chinese market. So all these are signs of the fact that the market normalizes, that a broader range of products needs to be offered there. And as I said, the high digit rates are over. And political decisions, what does that mean? Well, Javier, perhaps I can add some information here. You know, for example, the import or the restrictions on driving in major cities. I mean, there's more regulation in place now, which cars may enter the inner cities or giving out driving license here. A restructuring is taking place in the world of automobiles.
Thank you.
Next question, please. André Tauber from Die Welt.
I have a question, a follow-up question about China. You talked about overcapacities in the economy in China. I assume you're referring to the automobile industry. What kind of overcapacities are you talking about? what's their level and what will the effects be? Will China in the end be an exporter of cars? Well, Mr. Tauber, again, just one thing. We ourselves, we didn't talk about overcapacities of the automobile industry, maybe in real estate, but not in the automotive industry, if I've understood that correctly. Mr. Reithofer and Mr. Eichiner are nodding, so I can tell you, yes, my statement was correct. Okay, so that was a misunderstanding. But then I can ask another question. Competition with Audi and Mercedes is becoming tougher. You've grown faster most recently. Is it this is a trend that will continue next year? And when are you saying can you return to stronger growth than your competitors? Okay, I'll pass this question to Mr. Eichiner. Okay. Well, of course, competition will remain tough, and there's no doubt about that. And this is also associated with, you know, the claims our competitors have. But let me emphasize, for us, basically, competition is not reduced to just the number of units sold. We want to grow profitably. Profitably, that means, yes, 8 to 10% margin, as we have communicated. And this is how we were successful in the past years as well. This applies to us. It's always a balance between sales and profit. And it makes a difference whether you sell a 5 Series or an X5 or a small car in the lowest class. Just counting the number of units sold is not something I really approve of. Of course, this, I'm not pleading for giving up market share. That's not something we will do. What I'm saying is have a close look, grow in the right segments, grow profitably, and that will be our guidance. And sure, there's no denying competition will continue to be quite fierce in the markets. Thank you. Next question, please. Elisabeth Behrmann from Bloomberg News. Good morning. Two questions. Herr Reithofer, you said in Paris prices in Europe remained below expectations. I'd like to know, what are your price expectations for Europe next year? And secondly, VW and Daimler CEOs mentioned last year at a conference in Munich that there's endeavors among automobile manufacturers to develop their own databases to avoid passing on sensitive data to Google. Do you see yourself as part of these endeavors, and if so, in which form? Let's start with the prices, Mr. Eichiner, and then the second part of the question, Dr. Reithofer. Price expectations in Europe. We said at the beginning of the year we're expecting prices to improve, transaction prices this year, that is, but we also said that this also depends on competition and it depends on demand, which in turn is related to the overall economic growth. So that's two factors we have to take into account. But I'd also like to say that there is a slight improvement in terms of pricing, but in fact our target was a little more ambitious and still is more ambitious. With the introduction with the many new vehicles that we've had in the second half of the year, we do expect pricing to pick up in the fourth quarter. Now, whether our original target can still be met, that's another question. But we continue to assume that there'll be economic recovery in Europe. This is, of course, a fundamental premise to be able to talk about increasing demand, because we lost demand since the crisis in 2008. We hope that there'll be more momentum on the pricing side. If there's more growth, then we have more favorable economic conditions for a more favorable pricing development. Dr. Reithofer? As concerns your question about this joint data platform, let me repeat what I said in my speech. We're facing competition. Competition is a good thing, no matter in which form or by which supplier it is generated. I'd also like to emphasize where the actual target is in the future. Highly automated driving is going to become more widely known. Now, what's our starting point as BMW? BMW, currently in the automotive industry, with Connective Drive, is a leader of digital offerings. I think this is what you're aiming at. And our vehicles today already are seamlessly integrated in the digital world of our customers. They are, in fact, part of the digital world. The prerequisite here is, of course, direct access to the customer using all possible channels, the web, apps, and generally, we make sure that the BMW Group will not close itself before new technologies. We offer Google services, just to name an example, via Connected Drive. This is already integrated in our cars. So we as BMW Group, we're not against new technologies. Of course, we integrate Google services into the cars via Connected Drive. Now, back to your actual question. You said that two CEOs said something. I don't know what they said. All I can say is I do not want to speculate about a joint data platform here and now. Thank you. Next question, please. Edward Taylor from Reuters. Good morning. I have a general question. Last time, I asked about the proportion of small cars compared to the overall fleet. Now I'd like to ask something that relates to SUVs. There appear to be more and more SUVs in your model lineup. What's the share of the SUVs in the total number of BMW vehicles? Or what's the percentage of SUVs that you'll see in the future? And then you see CO2 consumption, fleet consumption, declined in Europe compared to previous year. What's that like on a global level? And then another question, the i3. How would you rate its performance, its sales? Did it sell well? Is it better than expected? Worse than expected? And is that demand or supply driven? Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Dr. Reithofer. Now, on the SUVs, we offer a broad range of SUVs in our model lineup, beginning with the X1. That's a compact SUV. Then middle class, that's X3, X4. X4 is a new product, similar to our successful X6. Then we've got the X5. And because there is a market for it, Mr. Taylor, we also want to do an X7. We will produce it in Spartanburg. There is a market for this car. This is demonstrated by our competitors' products. And of course, we want to participate in that market. Now, look at the entire range of SUVs currently. That accounts for about 30% of our sales. And across all of the products that I've just mentioned, we have very good contribution margins, so much for the margins, so much for the SUVs. I can imagine that, especially in the compact segment, we will still have new ideas because there's a trend in that direction. But I don't want to give away any more information at this point. Then the i3, to continue with that, is that developing in line with our expectations? Yes, I think so. This is an innovative product that we launched in the market. We sold more than 10,000 units in the first 9 months. I said 10,200 roughly. In terms of production capacity, we had certain limitations. What does success mean here? Our customers still have to wait between 4 and 6 months for their car. That's actually too long. If we were able to produce more, we probably would. Then we'd also sell more. So we're absolutely happy. And as I said before, the i8, our plug-in hybrid, we saw more than 300 in the first few months, as I mentioned. Sales are increasing month on month. And as far as our i8 is concerned, we're quite optimistic. We've got full order books. And if you were able to see me now, I'm smiling broadly. So with both cars, we're very satisfied. Then CO2 emissions, fleet consumption in Europe decreased. What's the global development? This is a figure I can't give you. We're not recording this figure globally. We record that figure for Europe, but not globally.
Thank you.
Next question. Mr. Bryant from Financial Times.
Good morning. A question about the model mix in China. Analysts say that imported cars have gone down in September. Is this a long-term trend? And does that mean that profit, well, usually there's a high margin on these vehicles. Does that mean that profit with these cars will be reduced? And my second question, Great Britain, the federal government considers it possible that the UK will actually leave the European Union. I mean, what would that mean for BMW? Are you worried about your major investments in the UK?
Thank you. Start with the UK, Dr. Reithofer, and then Mr. Eichner.
Well, I can tell you what my position is, which is quite clear. I'd be very sorry if the UK left the European Union. What would that mean for the BMW Group? Well, that's something we'd have to think about if that question ever arises. At the moment, it's not a topic of questions, but seen as a businessman, I'd feel sorry, not only as a businessman, also politically, if the UK were really to take that step.
Thank you, Dr. Reithofer.
Now, Mr. Eichner, about the model mix in China.
Well, model mix in China. One thing is clear. In the long run, the locally produced volume will grow more strongly. This has always been part of what we were saying. This is in line with the investment decisions in a joint venture. Mr. Reithofer already mentioned this. Three further products are to be produced there. These will be products in the mid and small class range, which we think is something that's tailored to the growing middle class in China. And with the number of units produced, there will be more growth. Nonetheless, our import fleet is still attractive, and we consider development there to be stable. And the month of September alone doesn't really indicate major trend changes. There's always months where we've got ramp-up situations or model changes. Now we've got the new X6 coming, which is highly relevant for this market, and this is now only leaving the ramp-up phase. There's also side effects with the 7 Series, which will be replaced next year, and all of this will come into play. I don't see a change of the trend here. The import volume is stable, also going forward, and in the long run, as I said, locally produced volume will grow more strongly.
Thank you. Next question, please.
This is Pia Krix from Automobilwoche.
Good morning. Two topics. One, recalls in the third quarter. You announced in July that 1.6 million cars will be recalled because of problems with the airbag system. Who is your supplier and what does the recall cost you? And then what's your general assessment? Why is it that there are so many recalls of the airbags at the moment? Is this a very critical component, or is this got to do with lack of quality from the suppliers? And the second topic I'd like to address, the BMW 3 and 8. I'm a little surprised that you're saying that 10,200 vehicles in the i3, that this is in line with their expectations. I think that's peanuts for BMW. And I'm also surprised that you've got limited capacities. Did you plan the plant to be so small, or was the ramp-up not as successful as you thought? Maybe you can explain what that means, the limited capacities. And then I'd like to know, you say you've got a full order book. Do you believe that sales figures in 2015 with the i3 and A8 will increase?
Thank you, Mrs. Krix. Before I pass this on the i3 and the i8, I can make a few comments on Takata. In July 2014, we already announced that about 1.6 million vehicles of the predecessor generation of the BMW 3 Series from the production period 05-99 to 08-2006 will be called back and the passenger airbags will be replaced.
in rare cases, potential problems of bursting gas generators occurred, but only with competitors' cars, which used similar but not identical systems of the same supplier, Dakota. Now, with BMW, not a single case has become known. Now, this replacement is a voluntary precaution you can take in order to minimize the risk of non-regulated airbag openings. Now, formally, this is a voluntary extension of a recall that took place in 2013. At the time, the supplier indicated a production range for potentially defective gas generators in airbags, and in 2013, BMW already recalled 240,000 of the predecessor version of the BMW 3 Series, and in July, the supplier then extended that production period that was affected. That's the situation. Second part of your question, I3 and I8, I'll pass that to Dr. Reithofer. Well, Mrs. Knicks, let me emphasize, and I said this before, customer demand for the I3 is really very high. Dealers are telling us they could sell a lot more i3s than they had been allotted at the beginning. Now, the waiting time, as I said, between order and deliveries at the moment between 3 and 6 months, which is actually too much. Sales of the BMW i3 in the first 9 months, as I said, was 10,200 units, and 341 BMW i8, which is also positive and which, in fact, underlines the success. These are very high-quality cars. There's a clear trend towards more higher-value interior design. And looking at a product, you said something go wrong with the ramp-up? No, absolutely not. I cannot confirm that. What I'm saying is such an innovative new product like the i3 or the i8, that's something you ramp up slowly because it is an innovative challenge. If you now ask me, do we expect a greater volume, more sales of BMW i3s and i8s, I must say yes, of course, we expect higher sales. And I emphasize, we're satisfied with the way this has gone so far. This is a car you should not put on the market in an inflationary fashion right from the start. We've still got time for one last question. One more question, please. Max Borgmann, DPA, ISX. Hello. About the financial result and the depreciation of your shares in SGL, what exactly are the reasons for this depreciation and what's the exact amount? And then on battery cells, Daimler with its Litec subsidiary, they already had a few problems. Today, Conti more or less cancelled that joint venture with the battery cells. And how do you see the future for a battery cell technology? Is that something you can only buy from Asia the way you're doing it? Or will the German automotive industry yet set up another initiative in order to cooperate, to be less dependent on Asia?
Good. Mr. Borgmann, thank you very much. Let's start with the topic of the battery cells with Dr. Reithofer and then at the end, Dr. Eichner. Mr. Reithofer, please. Well, Mr. Borgmann, of course, I can only just answer for on our behalf, and there my answer is clear. Well, BMW Group and Samsung SDI, of course, want to further extend their supply relationship for battery cells. To this end, on 14th of July, we signed a memorandum of understanding in Seoul. Samsung SDI will supply the BMW Group in the years to come with battery cells for the BMW i3, the BMW i8, and additional hybrid models. Well, the plug-in hybrid models. And the most important components of this agreement are the mid-term increase in the number of units due to the increasing demand for electromobility, and the technological further development of the battery cell. And there, yes, we agreed on common goals, also as far as energy densities are concerned, and as to when those new energy densities will be available. But I would not like to comment on that right now. Well, there have been intensive talks, even on the highest level. And you asked the question about, currently the greatest production capacities in South Korea, in Japan, and in China. This is the case at the moment. But we consider the battery cell as a commodity, at least we as the BMW Group. And as I said, I do not want to comment on other joint ventures. Please understand. Okay. And now on the last part of the question, the financial result in Q3 and the depreciation and the share in SGL. Mr. Eichner, please. Well, Mr. Borgmann, I would like to begin with the question of depreciation. This is owed to the decline in the share price. Due to the business development and also the capital increase that was performed, the share price has considerably gone down. And our accounting principles, as a matter of those, we now had to make an adjustment and perform a corresponding depreciation. The overall effect is at around 100 million euros. And then there was another question concerning the financial result. Here, too, we had a much more marked negative effect, which is ultimately due to the derivatives that we use for hedging purposes. There's firstly the single interest derivatives, but also the current values of currency options. Look at it this way. Luckily, we have seen a depreciation of, for example, the dollar or other currencies. And this affects the options that we use for hedging purposes. They lose their current value. But of course, we also get positive effects in terms of sales. Now, this is a development that does not worry us. But it does have a negative influence on the financial result, and that was also in a higher amount. I would say a middle three-digit million amount, which in the end is reflected in the financial result. Now, this is the background. Thank you very much, Mr. Eichner. Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. Colleagues, thank you for your interest in our telephone conference. I wish you a nice and successful day. See you soon, and goodbye.